He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
People are more concerned about the interior of a space than ever because you're spending so much more time inside. So we really have to think about catering to the work from home folks and also the families, right? So like, you've got to think about, what does my interior look like? I mean, I just went on a trip and I literally filtered by like, does this place have a pool, good Wi-Fi, and a workspace, you know? And then I went with the nicest one and it didn't really matter where it was. You know, I knew that wherever I would go, I would explore that space. But like, now it mattered to me is like, what does the interior of the space look like? And what is the functionality more than anything?
Welcome to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast where we discuss all things hospitality, hotels, and business. You can find us online at slicktalkthepodcast.com and on every podcast listening platform.
Staring down the barrel of a 60% permanent closure rate, it's time to fix what's broken.
It's time to change the game.
The hospitality industry is at a pivotal point.
And it's become painfully obvious that business acumen
and strategic planning
will matter just as much as resilience.
There's no shortage of resources ranging from how to apply for loans to how to negotiate with your landlord.
But at some point, we will turn our sights towards the future.
And when that time comes, we'll need
tools and strategies to thrive,
not just survive.
In the hospitality industry,
we fix our own problems.
This is no different.
We've created a group
called the Hospitality Game Changers.
It's on Facebook, a platform
you already use daily.
It's a space just for us where we're tackling the most difficult issues
facing our industry and creating solutions.
It's updated daily with the most compelling audio, written, and video content
to make sure you're plugged into what's going on today
and what can help us tomorrow.
It's quick and easy and free to join.
Just log in to Facebook and search
Hospitality Game Changers in the search bar.
And you're all set.
We can't change the cards that we are dealt,
but we can change how we play the game.
He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
All right. Welcome back to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I'm your host, Will Slickers. And today I have Andrea Santos from Full House. How are you today?
I'm great, Will. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Doing great. You know, we're living this COVID-19 dream here, doing a bunch of Zooms back to back. Loving it.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's been quite the change in reality.
Yes, and I heard you guys just went back into another lockdown phase.
We have, yep. So, I mean, like, it's a little bit less imposing as the last one, a little bit less strict for now, but we'll see. I mean, you cannot plan a minute of this year, so we are, you can't speak to tomorrow, so yeah. We'll see what happens.
Well, we'll speak about this great podcast that we're going to do, and then we'll, you know, continue throughout the day and figure out what the next move is. And I do actually want to bring up, like, you guys just launched a storefront, right? And then all this happened, and we'll kind of cover a little bit later in the episode, but I can imagine that's pretty rough.
Like I said, you just cannot plan a minute of this year. It's like every stride you make, it's like there's something on your coattail. So yes, we did do that. Yes, we are doing that. It's a hell of an experience. I mean, like, no harm, no foul, but it's fun times. It's keeping me on my toes.
Yeah, I was going to say the amount of knowledge you'll walk away from after all this is said and done, I think it'll be quite useful.
All that pandemic knowledge they'll be teaching kids in the next school generations to come.
Yeah, have you seen all like the videos where they're like the teachers are talking like history and then all it's like 2019 and then they're like, all right, now we're gonna talk about 2021 and everyone's like, wait, what about 20? It's like, we don't talk about that year.
It's a black hole. We lost that year.
We skipped it. We just do a skip. Well, I want to introduce you to just the audience and figure out, you know, let's dive into your background. Who are you? What have you done prior to Full House that got you to where you are today? And then, of course, what is Full House?
Yeah. Okay. Which way do we start? Do we start?
Yeah. Let's start right in the beginning.
At the beginning.
Yeah. Let's do the beginning.
Ooh, deep dive. Meat of the episode.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have to like close my eyes and think back. Okay. Where did we start? So I had originally sort of pursued a career in law. And about 5 years ago, which is when Full House started, I was working for a real estate firm in Montreal, sort of handling their legal and contracts and internal sort of legal matters. And a friend of mine who was an interior designer in interior design school was like, let's start a company. And I was like, sounds like a great idea. And so, you know, came up with an awesome name, Full House. And, you know, I had a particular passion for design and sort of architecture. I was working in real estate. And because like sort of my family background, we'd kind of designed and built homes, you know, growing up. And I was always a part of that process. So it was quite a big passion of mine. So we started out actually just with an e-commerce store that was really catered to like authentic vintage design. And the name Full House actually is derived from Buckminster Fuller, who is an amazing architect, and he designed the geodesic dome in Montreal, which, I mean, if you guys Google it, you'll see it online. It was during Expo 67. There's like this giant dome, and I think it was the US Pavilion during that Expo year. And so it's a nod to him and that design of the geodesic dome. And so that's the full part. And then the Bauhaus movement, which is simplicity, efficiency, and of course, a lot of that architectural design as well. So Full House was born. And what we did at the time is that we actually went around and drove U-Hauls across the country to pick up beautiful vintage product and then photograph it really nicely, revamp it, put it online. It was like the Pinterest dream and it was a side gig. And I was sort of squatting in one of our empty office locations of the real estate firm that I was working at. And and then what happened? So I was looking to get out of my job, out of my 9-to-5 job. And I found this company called Flatbook, who was doing something a little bit different. They were taking student apartments in the summer. So when students would go back home in the summer, they would take their apartments and then rent them out to tourists. And so they had just, I think, they had just like raised their first round and they were looking for somebody to kind of like help them get more units, manage their real estate. And that was kind of what I was doing. So I had applied there and then they wanted to hire me, but they asked me to do this challenge, which included like me giving all of my Rolodex of contacts. So I was like, well, maybe not. And then, you know, my business partner, my side gig sort of business partner was like, well, I mean, you don't really want another 9-to-5. Why don't you just ask them to design their units instead? So sure enough, I went back to Francis Davidson and Lucas and I said, no, thank you. But can I design your units? And then sure enough, they're like, yes, amazing. We have one upstairs. Do you have time to go see it? I was like, yes, I do. So we did. And that was the very first unit that we started designing for what you might know today as Sonder. So from there.
Okay. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. So from there, we ended up sort of working with Sonder for quite a bit that summer. And sure enough, you know, one thing led to the other and people started calling us like left and right to help them scale at the same speed and help them grow their inventory and offer sort of this good design on a quick turnaround time and, you know, with all of the amenities that you would need to kind of furnish the place. So within a few months, I had to quit my job. We were too busy. And And yeah, so then Full House is born, and you know, we've been sort of growing and scaling and expanding ever since. But yeah, that's the origin story. That's the origin story of Full House.
What a client to start you guys off with, for sure. Sonder, especially, like, out of all names, that's the name to have. Like,
yeah,
well, right out the gate. Flatbook. Flatbook, yeah. to now Sonder. That's crazy. That's pretty cool. I did not know that part. I did a little bit of research, obviously, prior to our conversation today, but not expecting Sonder. So that's great. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, so like we said, you launched a storefront and you guys have this e-commerce platform as well. So let's talk about something I saw on your website, and it was called House in a Box. And I really like this idea. And I think, you know, we've on the show, we've had a mastermind series back in, I think, January is when it started. You know, of course, COVID happened shortly after, but so the mastermind series, we talked about, you know, how to improve your listing, how to make sure you're getting more bookings. What can you do as a host, as a manager, as a agency that does, you know, whether it's hotels or vacation rentals, what can you do to really vamp up your listing? And one of the things was pictures, of course, great pictures, and then interior design. But we never talked in detail on what design really does to benefit. So I'd love to talk about House in a Box and what that really goes into. And you know, the overall concept.
Yeah. So, well, you know, kind of like jumping off from like where we left off on the last sort of origin story. Obviously, you know, developing these sort of delivery methods and knowing, you know, really perfecting as quickly as possible what needed to go into these spaces to actually make them nice, like well designed, interesting and amenable to guests. And then also, you know, what do guests actually care about? It's not necessarily the same thing that you care about in your own home, and it's not the same thing that like the owner cares about. So sure enough, that's also where House in a Box was born. And the idea is that, like, okay, everything that you need, well designed, delivered, installed and photographed and staged, so you're ready to go live as fast as possible and start generating revenue from your property. So House in a Box is that sort of perfect package. It's easily installed. So we have, you know, the exact product that goes into from a hotel room size to a 4-bedroom unit, and everything is handled and photo finish ready. So to really take the burden off of these operators and owners that are scaling, because they're not often scaling in the city that they're actually based in or in the location that they're renting these units or like putting up their properties. So they need somebody else that they can trust to kind of go in there and handle that whole aspect of the installation of the furniture. So that's where House in a Box is born. And naturally, I mean, we are a design company, so we care about good design. So what we did with House in a Box is that we're not saying it's a set package. We're not saying that it's like you're buying specifically this product. The product changes with every package, but what we're sort of selling to and what we're sort of offering is a design. So we're selling you, you know, we have 6 seasonal designs that come out every season. So now we are in fall, winter 20, and you're going to see 6 designs online for North America. We have our European stuff as well. And so you buy that package and or you rent it, and then basically we will do an iteration of that for you. So every single space is unique. It's never going to be exactly the same or cookie cutter just like the last one. So that's the idea of House in a Box. It's that turnkey, I'm moving into this place, or I'm renting that unit, or I've just purchased this building, or I, you know, we're scaling into that location. I need a service that'll just handle all of it from A to Z. That's what we offer.
So does it come already built and ready to go and people deliver it and put it in? Or like, I'm a logistics person. So I'm thinking like, all right, how is this all kind of coming like in a big, ginormous box?
Basically, or several, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not everything obviously in a box. I've tried to imagine like, how can like, you know, trying to model that in SketchUp, if anybody has like sort of great SketchUp skills, then help me out here. But trying to model like, how does a lamp fit on top of a sofa with the rug, and like trying to imagine this perfect cube of like an apartment's containments, I guess. But no, unfortunately, that's not the reality. The reality is it comes in truckloads of stuff. You really don't think about how much stuff goes into a space until you've done it. Yeah.
Well, and I love that you said the difference between what you would have in your own home versus what the owner would want you to have in their home versus what the guest actually wants when they're staying in the home or hotel, whatever. So there's a big difference. And I think, you know, finding that sweet spot is really important because we see so many, you know, vacation rental managers or companies that are like, oh, we're going to do this and do that and do that. But it's like really not what the guest wants and really not functional for the space at all.
Yeah. And I think functionality plays a big part, you know, and like often we have to talk to clients, you know, talk them out of things and just think about like, you know, you're committing to a certain wallpaper that does, you know, that makes it a very bold move. I mean, like we work with our clients to really either establish, I mean, they can pick one of our six sort of styles, or we offer custom design as well. We'll really, really sit with them and develop an idea or a concept that they're ultimately looking for their brand. But we often have to talk them out of like, you know, certain decisions that they're committed to because they saw it on Pinterest or they saw it on Instagram. Yep. And it's like, you know, having, you know, all glass, everything is just not going to be ideal for your space and it's not going to last. And so, yeah, so we do have to have those conversations, and there is like a learning curve. There is an expertise that you gain having done this so many times, like what works, what doesn't, what people like to take photos of. So we really try to get that selfie station going so that people are actually promoting your space when they're in it.
Yeah. Free marketing is exactly like I was, Matt Lando makes fun of me because I do hashtag picture moment or hashtag moments like type deal where whenever you're at a property or location, you always want to have that hashtag spot where people are always wanting to take pictures. Yeah.
Totally. Selfie station.
Yeah. That's selfie it. Station. I love it. Yeah. Well, now it, and so I remember reading that there's a rent to own and there's a own option and there's like all sorts of options on there. What have you seen be the most beneficial for property managers, especially because I think, like you said, with there being multiple seasons, do you see a lot of people doing the rent or lease option and then switching out as every season comes, or what does that look like for you guys?
So in fact, we only launched like officially the rental option this year, which was maybe a great time to do it because that's definitely something people are looking for right now. But traditionally it has been a purchase option. Okay. And the thing for me was really figuring out, I mean, sort of the financial logistics around all of that. Right. So, it, you know, we came to realize that why are people ultimately buying this stuff? Didn't really, like everybody was looking to spread out the payment, right? Yeah. All clients, nobody really wants to pay. It's expensive for sure. It's not a cheap endeavor to furnish a whole space with all of the bells and whistles. And so it's like, how do you spread that out? You know? And then it was like, well, the financing thing doesn't really make sense for us. We're not a bank, you know, but also like, why did people really want to own this stuff? I mean, in as much as you're renting out your space, like a lot of our clients are not property owners. They're tenant, they're lessees, right? Of the space. So, or lessors rather. And so, you know, it's kind of like, why are you owning all the furniture if you don't know, if your time in that space is not permanent, right? And so we realized that like this had to kind of be a service that went on for a certain number of years in order for people to actually, you know, stay current, stay on trend. You deal with damages also when you're in a rental space. You deal with tenants that are, you know, not super respectful of your things. So it's like, why are people buying all of this furniture if they're only going to have to move it, store it, deal with it at some point? Why not team up with a company like us and actually rent it as a service? And that way you actually, so our minimum term is a year. But we do offer like obviously discounts year two and three. And there is a rent to own option. So everybody can kind of rent and then own at the end. But after year two, you can swap everything out, and into year three, you can swap everything out and get a whole new package. So it kind of keeps everybody current. And then the other thing that we noticed is that if you do have a new fresh space, your listing gets bumped again to the top of the listing page, right? So we know this whole thing now about listing optimization, and that really good photos and a fresh looking space is going to optimize you and put you at the top of that listing page. So the best way of doing that is to obviously have a new interior. So yeah, having the service that you subscribe to, obviously, to me makes a lot more sense. No doubt that not everybody is understanding it, because everybody's just like, well, I can own it all. But I think that we're just obsessed with ownership. Yeah. But yeah, it just doesn't, from a business standpoint, I still think it makes a lot more financial and logical sense to kind of use this as a service and actually use it as a rental option. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like what you said, you know, you're not a bank, and so do what you're good at. And obviously you're not banking. So if you can come up with a different model that works for you guys as a company and works for your clients, and awesome. And I think that's a good segue into kind of my next question for you, was any stats or data on how design and furniture can improve property occupancy and revenue? Obviously you touched a few points, but there was a great article that I found on shorttermrentals.com. I think it was a while back, but I think there's some good information in there on how, like you just said, refreshing your listing, increasing or refreshing your, you know, interior bumps your listing up again. So just stuff like that. What do you think, maybe, and we can even go to the final question I had with, you know, maybe three takeaways on how this can really apply to anybody listening today.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the one hand, what are the real stats? What are the benefits of doing this? I mean, it's funny because at the early stage of our business, and I think at the early stage of a lot of this industry, you know, 5 years ago, the market wasn't saturated and people just knew that they can furnish with IKEA. And like, as long as it was furnished, you can get it online. And that was the minimum requirement. And then slowly people started to notice that, like, oh, if it's well furnished and if it's well designed, I end up getting a better return on my investment. So I think that, I mean, for us, what we've seen with our packages is that you're gaining anywhere from 40 to 60%. And those are the stats that we're able to pull from clients, you know, but yeah, 40 to 60% is a good average. But of course, you know,
I was going to say, that's actually pretty damn amazing actually. Compared to what a lot of companies are, you know, when you just do IKEA, what are you getting on that return? Probably little to none. So,
exactly. And No doubt, like, you know, you're definitely, I mean, I do for sure. I spend more to stay in a nicer place. You know, if it is like $100 versus $130, I'm going to spend $130. Because it's a much nicer space. So, you know, think about like how that user mentality works. And, you know, touching on your next question, sort of like three takeaways that people should have is that, like, right now, people are more concerned about the interior of a space than ever, because you're spending so much more time inside. So we really have to think about catering to the work from home folks. And also the families, right? So like, you've got to think about, what does my interior look like? I mean, I just went on a trip and I literally filtered by like, does this place have a pool, good Wi-Fi, and a workspace, you know? And then I went with the nicest one and it didn't really matter where it was. You know, I knew that wherever I would go, I would explore that space. But like, now it mattered to me is like, what does the interior of the space look like? And what is the functionality more than anything? So yeah, so do whatever you can to kind of increase that experience, to update that experience. Take good photos, take, you know, the vignette shot, like that Instagrammable little shot that you can get, add those photos. They're really worth the while. You know, even so far as I go get a bunch of board games, people need to entertain the kids. Whatever little things you can do, definitely make sure that you have a good workspace. Everybody's got to have that phone call from time to time, or that space where they just have to buckle down and do some work. You obviously want to cater to that demographic. And then I think the final takeaway, make sure you have stellar internet, because everybody's got to have really good Wi-Fi these days. There's a lot of people using it at home. So yeah, I think that's my three inputs.
No, that's great. And I think you touched on my another question is the, you know, with the, in light of COVID-19, a lot of people are working from home. We've also seen, you know, the crazy amount of staycations that has been happening, the people driving within a 50 to maybe even 100 mile radius to get out of their current living area and to just get a new change of scenery, right? Well, I'm predicting with school starting, that we're going to see a lot more of those. Instead of calling a staycation, we'll probably call it a schoolcation or whatever, to get the kids out of the house, or to, you know, take the wife or husband on a trip, or, you know, whatever it may be, right? So how have you guys seen interior design really help with the productivity of people that are working from home, especially with kids in school and doing Zoom learning and all sorts of other things like that? Have you had any kind of feedback with the, you know, recent pandemic stuff that we're in now?
Yeah. Yeah, we call those trips the workaways, right?
I love that.
you're working away. I mean, like, look, for sure, like, as soon as the pandemic hit, we started to look closely at, like, what can we do to, like, offer to, like, we haven't necessarily been including desks in our packages. So, like, what can we sort of do to offer that now to a lot of our clients? And so we did develop the work from home package in order to, like, you know, to supplement wherever people needed that. But I mean, like, for sure, there are things that are really important. And I think a decent workspace in a closed room. So if you do have a desk, if you do have an office, then you should put it in a room that the door closes, not in the living room. People don't want to work at the dining table. That's kind of where everyone else lives. You need to be able to go have a conversation behind a closed door. So I think that's kind of really important and for productivity. You know, light and window space is also really important because you're inside so much. So definitely making sure that you have good lighting is really key as well. And I'm a lighting fiend. So get rid of those blue LEDs, get rid of that terrible, like, you know, ghost glow. Just get some really nice incandescent bulbs where you can find them, get that yellow light and just make it really nice. And then, you know, just making sure that, that you're, you know, you've got a comfortable chair where people aren't throwing out their backs. I threw out my back also in this pandemic, just sitting at the wrong table in the wrong way. So yeah, so productivity is all about ergonomics, comfort, and, you know, just trying to get privacy in a space where, like, you're home and you don't necessarily have that much.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I think there's all great information there. I did have one random thing I was thinking of because I saw, I don't think this is really new in the space, but I definitely think it's going to be a rise with, you know, the current situation we're all in. But there's condominium properties being built, right? But they're being built in the sense of for the millennial traveler, the millennial age where a lot of us do work from home or, you know, work remotely, but then we do travel on our off time. We go out and we're not at home as often as most people that either have families or a little bit older generation. And so the condominiums are being built. You're buying the unit that you live in. It's coming fully furnished with a package that you pick, kind of like what you guys offer. But then when you're not there, you pretty much, the property will turn on a switch and your unit now becomes a vacation rental while you're away. So have you guys seen anything like that? And maybe do you have a sneak peek if you're already partnered up with someone?
Yeah, we have worked on certain of those properties, okay. You know, so I can't really disclose, unfortunately, yeah. I can't disclose most of our clients, but we have worked on quite a few of those properties. I think that that's kind of something that everybody's going to be looking for. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't invest in a condo unless I knew I had the right to rent it out on a short-term basis.
Exactly.
And I think more and more people of our age group and in our place would probably feel the same way, yeah. Especially like in a city dwelling, in a city living, you know, you want to be able to be like, I'm going out and I don't want to just, this isn't just an expense. I want to be able to have some kind of return and recover the cost of this place. So there's definitely some companies out there that are doing it. Whether it takes on, I don't know how much information there is out there, how many stats are there on the success of these things, but I hear they're really beneficial and that, yeah, that you can sort of, you know, you can, if not just cover your costs, you actually do make quite a bit on them.
Yeah.
At least more than expected, you know, because on your traditional home, you're not making anything. So, you know, I like we're saying, like, I don't think I would invest in a property unless I had that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I do think to a certain extent, and I know that, you know, there might be some people that heavily disagree with me, but
I'm on the same page. I'm like, I'm probably going to get a couple of people that disagree, but I believe this is where it's going. So
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And I think that cities are sort of regulating this more and more. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be a certain level of regulation there for sure. Yeah. But there also needs to be a little bit of liberty for us to make decisions on properties that we own, right? So we'll see how this pans out.
Yeah, I was going to say, and professionalism too. Like, if, you know, regulation will come with proper professional operations. You know, if you're doing it right, then you'll set the example and the standard pretty well. And I think companies that are starting this are going to be the toe in the water. They're going to be the ones that figure out, okay, is this going to work? Because I like the idea. I would love to buy a place in Florida and go to Mexico for a month and have my place be rented out. You know, that would be amazing. But it really takes the right type of company. So hopefully maybe we'll see something more in the future and you'll be back on the show talking all about it, and it'd be great stuff. But
yeah, all of my condos that are doubling as vacation rentals. We'll see if we buy into that. Also, you know, there's another side to that coin of, like, is it a glorified, what were they called back in the day? Where you used to buy weeks in a space?
More like a timeshare?
Timeshares. Glorified timeshare.
Hey, I think but timeshares, you don't get to live in. You're like, you pay $50,000 for a week in a destination, and it's like, no. It's kind of, no thanks. I'm not going to take out a $50,000 loan for that.
Yeah, no, so that was a 90s scam. Really, really interesting one.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, awesome. I think this was a great episode. I think you bring a lot to the table, and I love talking about interior design. We never, I can't say never, we rarely have the opportunity to have, you know, interior design and marketing people on the show. So it's really cool to pick your brain and see the cool stuff you guys are doing in the space. I want to give you this time to do any kind of like final shout outs or final thoughts, anything that you would like to add in conclusion of the episode.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I mean, this was really, really awesome, and it's really great to talk to other industry people in the space and sort of, you know, hear what you have to say. But shout outs, I mean, like, you know, shout out to my team. But I think some things that are worth noting is that we just launched our direct to consumer line. It is only available for now in Montreal, but you'll see that expanding pretty quickly, pretty soon. So now that we've perfected it sort of for the businesses, the D2C service is just a little bit more scaled back, but it enables sort of anybody to buy that home and just go in there and set it up immediately. That's awesome. You'll be seeing some of those coming your way. Full house is always, you know, always a new day, always a new adventure.
I wasn't saying any real estate people listening. this is a great service to add. Just go to the direct to consumer spot, buy all the furniture for your clients, mark it up a little bit. Who knows? Do whatever. Get creative. Have fun.
I mean, like, I encourage them to kind of like furnish it and then just increase the lease.
Yeah, there you go. That too. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. Well, thank you, Andrea, so much again for being on the show. And I'll link everything in the show notes, guys. So please check out Full House. I'll also put a couple links to articles and blogs that they've done. Really good information there. Andrea, it's a pleasure. You're awesome. Keep up the great work. And hopefully we'll get some updates from you guys soon about getting out of lockdown and into the full rush of business again.
Yeah, looking forward to meeting you in person one day soon.
Yes, yes. Thanks. I'll buy so much, coffee.
Great.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
Hey guys, big announcement here. I'm participating in the first ever Return on Rentals virtual event with some of the most amazing and awesome industry friends I've ever had. This event is unique and different. We're aiming to shake it up, and we'd love to have you there. It's all property managers talking about how they use technology to solve problems. There's even a virtual happy hour, which is kind of like speed dating, but in order to make virtual connections. Conferences are canceled, but the opportunity to connect is not. So please join us. I'll have a link in my show notes. I would love to see you guys there. I'm going to be speaking on the power of connections with some amazing industry thought leaders and, let's be honest, just some badass women. So go ahead, join us. It's a free event. Hop on there. I look forward to seeing you there. And of course, having a drink with you afterwards at the happy hour. What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast.